Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello again. My name is Brooke Taylor, and I am delighted to kick off a brand new season today of Good Things Radio. So grateful that you are here. And on this day of all days, Ash Wednesday, this upcoming season, I'm just so excited for God and His abundant graces to reveal some of the guests that we have and what they will teach and share with us in terms of their faith. And today's episode, today's show is very, very special because as we begin, I'm actually in the Holy Land, but no matter where we are, we start this journey together. We start the journey on Ash Wednesday to the cross, to Resurrection Sunday. And that's what I want to focus on today. We have a very special guest that's going to be our virtual retreat master and give us a little bit of a retreat as we start this journey on Ash Wednesday. And as we begin, I wanted to give you a little bit of a visual that my friend Father Nathan Cromley was sharing with me. He said, in the monastery or in the convent, the religious has a cell that is their room, but it's much more than their room. It is the place that they dwell with God. So when they leave the cell, Father Nathan said, we have our portable cell and that is our habit. And he said, we have a hood. And he said, when we put the hood up, we tune out everything else. And we can't look to the left or the right when we have our hood on. We can only see in front of us and our beloved. And so I invite you in a mystical way to put up your hood as you're listening today and enter into the inner sanctuary of time with our Lord and the Holy Spirit and what He is sharing and revealing to us today. And I think that we have the best guide to help us do that. And that is a dear spiritual mentor of mine for many years. He doesn't know it, but I love him dearly. And that is Father Jacques Philippe, a member of the Community of the Beatitudes in France. Father Philippe is a renowned spiritual director, retreat master, author, speaker. His books have been translated into over 24 different languages, over a million copies sold. I have a well-worn copy of Searching and Maintaining Peace, as well as Fire and Light, and many others. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So joining me in studio today is Father Jacques Philippe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me. Ash Wednesday, what do you think of when you consider this day, Ash Wednesday?
I think it's a very beautiful day because it's a day of humility in which we have to acknowledge to be poor, to be sinner. But it is the entrance to a very beautiful mystery to be capable to understand in a deeper way God's infinite love and mercy. Something that touches me in Ash Wednesday in the reading of the Gospel, in which Jesus is speaking about fasting and giving alms and praying, not to do this in front of men to be seen by other people, but to do it in secret, and just at the presence of God. And when he speaks about prayer, he says, when you want to pray, go in your room, close the door, and pray your Father who will see you in the secret. And I think I understand the invitation of Jesus as an invitation to go deeper in the intimacy with God and to open our heart to the secret of the Father, the secret of His mercy, the secret of His infinite love, the secret of His tenderness. So in my opinion, one of the most beautiful things in Lent is to acknowledge my poverty, my sin, the time of conversion, but above all, a time to be more open to God's presence, to God's mercy, to discover in a deeper way the merciful face of God as a Father, so that God can speak to our hearts and reveal to our hearts the secrets of His infinite love and mercy. So this is my way to understand Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday. Yeah, and I remember in my early years as a mother, as I hear you share this, thinking, That's a luxury. There are people crying for me, literally my children crying for me, and distractions, and I can't hear myself think. And in this world of noise and busyness and rush, we all desire, I think we thirst to be open to the Holy Spirit. But how can we build into our days those moments where we hear from our Lord in the midst of the busyness? Or is it just as simple as going into a closet or a room for 5 minutes just to pray?
Yes, I think that prayer is an essential way to welcome God's presence. And so I think we have to, even if we are very busy, and it's important to take some moments to be at God's presence. But if we can take every day 10, 15 minutes just to stop other activity, to put aside the cell phone and to be attentive to God's presence in our heart, and to speak with Him, to be at His presence, and to read some passage of the scripture, I think it may be very important and fruitful for us. And so to do this in a regular way every day, as much as possible, and also during the day, often, to look at God, we have many opportunities in our journey, even if we are very busy. There are so many opportunities to thank God for this gift, small or important, to invoke God's help for this difficulty, to also to ask forgiveness for this mistake. So I think all what we are living in our daily life may be an opportunity to a short contact with the Lord. And when we can also sometimes, perhaps once a week, take a longer time to be at His presence, for instance, to go to the Adoration Chapel of the parish and to spend half an hour, 1 hour with the Lord. This is very important too, because we need a daily contact with the Lord, but sometimes we need to stay a longer time at His presence, to rely upon Him, to surrender to Him, and also to give God the possibility to speak to us. But He does not speak every day, but if we are faithful to take time to listen to Him, He will speak when we need it.
One message, though, that you said when I recently heard you speak, and I've also read in your books, is that sometimes that can be painful, that sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit can be painful, but it is always for our good, that sometimes in our lives we will feel lost, but that is normal, and it's not an invitation to leave God, but to trust Him and to come closer to Him and know that He's working. I think that's so important for us.
Yes. But the work of the Holy Spirit in our life sometimes is very consoling, very encouraging. So He gives us the feeling of God's tenderness and God's presence. But it's true that sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit in our life may be also painful, because the Holy Spirit in some moments can give us a clear understanding of our poverty, our sin, our limitation. So sometimes it may be a little humiliating. I thought to be a perfect person, to be better than other people, and in some circumstances I realize, and it is a grace, that I have also my poverty, my limitation. I have to convert something in my life. So sometimes it may be a bit painful and humiliating, but it's a grace also, because in this time people are needy of conversion, are needy, are obliged to cry out to God and to say to God, God, help me. Purify my heart, give me a new heart, and God will answer this prayer. In the Psalms, it is said very often that God is listening to the prayer of the poor, that the man who feels to be poor, to be needy of conversion, to be needy of forgiveness, the man who is obliged to cry out to God in a deep way, it's a grace, because God answers this prayer and come to console, to heal us, to forgive us, to purify our life when we desire for it.
And I think during Lent is such a good time to examine our poverty, or ask God to show us our poverty, because you say too, sometimes it is not God that we're trusting in, but ourselves. And so He reveals the poverty so that we can see, was it me that I trusted in, or was it God?
Yes. But when God reveals us our poverty, it's not to to crush us, but it's just to understand that we are more and more called to rely on him and not on myself, on my possibility only. What I can do, my possibilities are good. I have to use them. But what is important also, it's more and more to find my deep security, to find my rock in God and not in myself, or not in human security. So to learn to rely more upon God. And some, this experience of poverty, sometimes we can experience, it's a grace because it's an invitation for us to find the God as the true rock and to rely upon him and to be more free. Because the more I rely upon God, the more I will be free.
But it can be scary too. I know you talked about this, how sometimes, and I underlined this when I was listening and taking notes, is that there is a fear sometimes of the Holy Spirit when he asks something from us. And that really hit me, I think, the first time that I went to the Holy Land, because all the places that we stood, you recall scripture and how Jesus or the angel Gabriel said, fear not, or do not fear, or be not afraid, and how we as humans, when we believe that God is asking something of us that we don't know that we can give, that we're afraid, how can we overcome this in our flesh and just completely, like Saint Therese, be abandoned to him with joy, not fear, but true joy?
Well, I think it is not very easy for us, and it is something we have to learn little, day by day, to learn to trust God more, to be more open to him. But I think one of our greatest fears is that we want to control everything, because we are afraid of what could happen. So we want to control, we want to be sure, and we want to have everything in our hands. I want to be the master of my life. So openness to God and surrendering to God, we can do this only if we renounce to control everything. So this step is not very easy because of our fears, of our sometimes pride also, because we think sometimes that we are wiser than God, and it's better to me to take control of my life than to entrust to God.
So, I know in your book, because I have it underlined too, you say sometimes God does leave us in a state of uncertitude. And not to fear that either, but to make an act, Saint Therese talks about that, to make an act of confidence or a prayer, an act of trust, that even if I don't know, or even if I'm weary or uncertain, that Lord, I will trust you, and to leave that. And as you said, it's a grace. And I think part of that, and you talk about this a lot, is practicing the sacrament of the present moment and living in the present and not, and you brought up the scripture, not borrowing trouble from tomorrow, but to rest in where he has us today. And that is hard, I think, for a lot of us. And I look at me as a woman, I'm a planner. I have our calendar with all my children and our husband and everything coming up, and I have to be organized or things fall apart. But yet that balance of just be still and trust today, right now, the here and now.
Yes. It's not a bad thing to try to organize our life, but what we have to be attentive to is to organize things not in a spirit of fear, of wanting to control everything, but in a spirit of confidence, of trust in God, and also accepting when things are not going as I want them to go.
So that's so hard.
Yes, but we have to accept it and to trust God. It's a question of faith at the end, question of confidence in God's love. I accept sometimes that things are going in a different way. At the end, we feel that it's better because God is guiding our life with wisdom and love.
Tell us about the other life. You talk about this in your book, the other life, that sometimes we say, well, if my health was better, or if I had more money, if something else was different, if my husband was holier or supported me more, if I had a husband, that I would be able to do what I wanted to do. I would have the life that I wanted. But that no matter what we lack, God never leaves us in lack of himself.
Well, this temptation to dream very much about a different life, and we think that in a different life we would be more happy or more saint, or we could progress in a faster way. If my family or my community was more holy, I would make big progress in holiness. But I think there is much illusion in this. And I think what is the wisdom of the gospel is to accept life as it is, and to be sure that in my real life as it is, God is present. And God is not present in the life I dream to have, but God is present in the life I have. There, God is present. There, the Holy Spirit is working. So to accept the reality which is mine, the life which is mine, it does not mean to be passive and not to resolve a problem when I can solve it, not to try to heal if I am sick, for instance. It does not mean to be passive and to be lazy, because laziness is never a good thing. But it means to be confident in God's presence in my life as it is. I do not have to search for God outside of my real life. I have just to open my life to God, to live my daily life with Him, to try to be guided by Him as much as possible. And so I will experience that my real daily life, God is present in it. And so I don't have to dream of something different.
I love that. God is not in the life we dream of. He's in here, yes. Our life that we are now.
But this supposes a very big act of faith, because we do not have always the mathematical evidence, but it is an act of faith in God's faithfulness, in God's presence, and also possibility to experience that God is capable, even from difficult things, to draw out something good. Sometimes we have also this defect to dream to be another person. If I was more smart, if I was more strong for this, for that, my life would be so beautiful. But this is also an illusion. I have to accept myself as I am. And this is not so easy. But I think this is a lack of faith. And when God created me, He did not make a mistake. If I am not a superman, a superwoman, I am a child of God. I am son, daughter of God, and God is loving me in an infinite way. So I have to trust God's love, to welcome God's love in my life, and to accept who I am, and to trust in all that God is capable to do in my personal life.
Yes, and to make that act of faith. Help me, Lord, believe it. Believe, you know, yes, that I am exactly who you made me to be. And a couple more questions before we wrap up. Any ideas, any suggestions for Lent? Because we want to go through, part of the point is to repent and to, yes, that metanoia, that process, that transformation, yes, and to come back with all our hearts. Yes. And there's so many creative ideas of, I'm going to fast from this, or I'm going to add more prayers. Any basic suggestions?
I think the basis is more trust, more confidence, more openness to God. It's not just an external effort we have to do, but I think more openness to God. But I think the gospel gives some indication when he speaks about prayer, almsgiving and fasting. So this means try to be closer to God, through prayer, to welcome more God's presence in my life, to rely more on God's word, for instance. Almsgiving mean also to be more open to my neighbor, to my brothers and sisters, to accept them, to be capable to forgive to them, and to be more attentive to their needs. So all the dimension of charity. And fasting is to try my hunger and my thirst can be not only hunger and thirst of human realities, but to be more hungry of God and more thirsty of His love, of His mercy. We have to pray to invoke the Holy Spirit so He can inspire us some small act of faithfulness in these three fields, according to what the Holy Spirit can inspire us. So perhaps we have to begin the Lent with a time of prayer, just not to take immediately this resolution that sometimes can be according to my wisdom. I think that what I have to do absolutely during the Lent is to not to eat any more chocolate. But perhaps it's not what God is asking me. Perhaps God will ask me, eat as much chocolate as you want.
I like
that. But be more patient with your wife, or be more patient with, or take more time to pray. So I think it's important for us to ask a guidance of the Holy Spirit, not only to decide what we do for Lent according to my ideas, but to what God is inspiring me to do. And sometimes it will be a surprise, not exactly what I was thinking. I remember that.
And not to be afraid of that.
not to be afraid because what the Holy Spirit is asking is always very good for us. I remember many years ago that during a Lent, what I felt God was asking me, He was asking me to live more in gratitude, in thankfulness. So my effort for Lent was just to thank God for everything, to not forget any of the smallest gift of God, but to thank for everything.
Your order is the community of the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount has been called the Magna Carta of Christianity. How can we, I know this is a difficult question to not answer very long, but how might we meditate on the Beatitudes and consider Jesus' teaching in a deeper way during this Lent?
It's a big topic because the Beatitudes is a very rich text, and perhaps just one point. The first of the Beatitudes is blessed are the poor in spirit, because they will inherit the kingdom of God. So perhaps one aspect is to accept our poverty, not to fear to be poor and little, but to believe that through our limitation and poverty, God is capable to do very big things. If we entrust our poverty to the Lord, He will be capable to transform this poverty in riches, in abundance. So perhaps the fundamental question regarding Beatitudes and Christian life is a question of faith. Do we believe or not in God's mercy? Do we believe or not in God's power and faithfulness?
And to even, you know, those times of doubting, to say like Thomas, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief, and to make an act of faith and trust and confidence in God. Well, I am very grateful for you. Thank you. I know this has been a lot of talking this morning, and your English is so excellent.
Very good.
Thank you. And thank you for your wisdom, your time, your teaching, and all that you have poured out through the Holy Spirit in your writings. And how can we pray for you? You carry so much that people bring to you, their hurts, their fears, their sorrow. And God has equipped you with such fortitude and strength. How can we pray for you as you carry on your mission and ministry?
Well, I just invite you to pray for my community, and also to pray for other priests. I think God is preparing a very beautiful renewal of the church, I think, I'm convinced, and a renewal also of priesthood. But I think that it's very beautiful when lay people pray a lot for this. And we will have the priest that we want to have, and the more we ask for renewal of priesthood and for holy priest, the more God will give us them.
Yes, and He's generous. I mean, yes. we know His great generosity, and we just need to ask.
Yes.
We just need to pray.
Ask and you will receive.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for your time. God bless you, and a blessed Lent and Easter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Once again, a big thank you to Father Jacques Philippe for the beautiful words of wisdom, taking the time to offer a mini retreat. Also, thank you to Michael at Scepter Publishers for helping set up the interview, Bernadette at AM 1260 The Rock, and scepterpublishers.org is the website. Any of Father Jacques Philippe's books you can find, as well as a lot of different free materials and a lot of great resources for Lent. So that's a great place to go and support. And I suppose we can begin to emerge now from our mystical hoods, talking about that at the top of the show, just imagining we were putting up a hood like a monk's habit where they put up the hood to tune out all distractions. And I hope that this sets the tone as we listened and entered into this retreat with Father Jacques Philippe, that as we begin to go about our day, as we begin to start this Lenten path, that we feel accompanied and know that God is there in the midst of everything, in the desert, in the desolation, in the consolation, and to rejoice. On next week's show, a conversation with Dr. Christian Smith. He is a sociologist. He is a professor at the University of Notre Dame and just released the findings of a lengthy new study about transmitting the faith, parents passing on faith to their children. And I think you will find it fascinating, not just for the data, but the takeaways from that. Also, I would be grateful for your prayers as we are right now journeying through the Holy Land on pilgrimage. And you can be an armchair pilgrim with us by following along on social media. Just look for me, Brooke Taylor. Brooke with an E on Facebook, on Instagram. Brooke Taylor and the number 9 is my YouTube channel. Well, every day we'll be sharing videos as well, and I'll be sending back photos and reflections daily from, again, places like Jericho and the Jordan River and Jerusalem, and taking your prayers along the journey as well. God bless you, my friends. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.